Blog Talk Radio. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, April 29th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, and we love hearing from you. We love it, we love it, we love it. So please call in to chat live with myself and my special guest at 347-857-2710. And if you're a little shy and you'd like to send us an email, we'd love to hear from you that way at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. That's goodvibe, V as in Victor, I-B-E, experience@gmail.com. Well, we're about to whet your appetite because we're going on a gustatory ride atop the first double-decker bustrant, you heard me right, bustrant called World Fair, to hit the streets in America. The founder of World Fair decided to trade in his CPA shingle and spreadsheets and instead to focus on his passion for food and the restaurant business. So please give a warm welcome to Travis Schmidt. Hi, Travis.
Hey, Lauren, thanks a lot for having me. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Well, it's lovely to have you on. I'm so glad I was on the top three of your list this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a long list, Lauren. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. No, I love it. Keep it going. I love it. Please, compliments should never stop. They should never stop.
Well, no, you're right.
You have a charming accent, and as I've been reading about you, you're from Johannesburg, South Africa.
South Africa, born and raised, came out here 8 years ago.
Yeah, so what brought you to the West Coast?
Well, you know, the short story is I always felt like I wanted to live in L.A. Not just because the weather and what it was, and, you know, you see it on TV all the time. But, you know, the long story is I really wanted to raise a family out here. South Africa has a level of uncertainty, although it is one of the most beautiful countries in the world, and it was just one of those things that I didn't want to necessarily have to deal with in terms of risk, you know. And I think wherever you are in the world, you take on different stresses, and there was one stress that I didn't want to deal with.
I can understand that. Is your family still back there, most of your family?
My family is still back there, and the interesting thing is my wife is American, but her parents are South African, so I've got
You could escape.
Yeah, I still found someone who's got had a South African upbringing now, but she's American through and through.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Well, we're glad to have you in the hood. We love having you here, and especially since you have this fabulous new concept. So we're just inundated with all these the redesigned taco trucks. So I'm curious how you and I guess your business partner Jason Freeman decided to start World Fair.
Well, I've been in the food distribution business for 3 years, opening up bars and restaurants in LA, and ended up, through opening up, some of the really good bars and restaurants and starting to appreciate food. I was always the type of person who would eat to get full versus really dine and enjoy the food. And over the 3 years that I've been in the business and understanding the effort and the time and the care that goes into really good food, I started to get an appreciation for food. So, being in the business, and I noticed this gourmet taco truck trend happening, and I just loved the idea of being able to take food to people versus people having to come to food. And I was like, but at the same time, the actual vehicle of the taco truck, I find, is one of the ugliest vehicles in the world. that didn't appeal to me. So it kind of just was, really searching to actually do it in some different way. And, looked at probably about 10 to 12 double-decker buses before I found one that would really work, and you know, kind of sat down with Jason and convinced him that this is something really special, and we've got to do it. And I worked for Jason probably 3 years ago. I was his CFO, and then ended up, you know, we did it together.
That's wonderful. You know, I have to throw kudos at you because, as you see, there was one person that had this taco truck idea, you know, the gourmet side, and now there were so many followers because it happened to be a great idea. But the beauty about World Fair is that you took that idea and how you can make it better and different. And now you stand out among the taco trucks because you're different. And I think that's wonderful.
Well, Lauren, the original idea and what made it really special for me was the street model's great, and you know there's a certain amount of excitement that comes from working on the street. But the original thing that I really wanted to accomplish was a restaurant with a view. It just really appealed to me. I used to drive on a double decker bus, you know, up to downtown Johannesburg as a child. I always wanted to sit up at the front, at the top, and just drive on the thing. And it's just like you're in a different world. And what I really wanted to do is I wanted to do a restaurant with a view and, you know, pick your view and have a meal. So it's Malibu, Mulholland Drive, you know, just some just totally random places that you can't ever really go experience an amazing meal. And that was the original concept. It was a little bit harder to sell as the original concept because people just didn't understand where my head was at. And you know, that's something really exciting that we're going to incorporate down the road is, you know, a whole restaurant with a view concept. And that's why we're a buster on more than the gourmet taco truck. You know, yes, we do the street business, but we're a mobile location and a mobile event.
I like that. So how long did it take you to build out the double-decker?
The bus actually took about 5 months to build out.
And did you design it yourself?
Yeah, well, we did the kitchen design, and we ended up doing the kitchen design has to be laid out in a certain way from the health department. And then as you get further involved in the project, all of a sudden you realize that the stairs and the entrance to the upstairs are on the wrong side. So now we had to cut into the stairs over the wheel well and do kind of a drop-down Learjet stairs.
It's a bus from London or some out of the country?
Yeah, it's a London double-decker bus, and basically was brought in for San Diego sightseeing. And we, you know, San Diego's business, and when the economy started to go down, that just went, you know, their sightseeing business and their tourist business really dropped a lot. So they were getting rid of these double-decker buses. So it's a British double-decker bus, and, you know, we had to comply with the health department regulations in terms of the layout of the kitchen. And then as well as we had to create the environment upstairs. So upstairs we've got marble countertops that go around the perimeter that you can stand. We can stand about 25 to 30 people enjoying lunch where they can put down their food on these countertops and really enjoy it.
Wow, that's fabulous. That's wonderful. You know, we have a caller here, and this caller has been very patient, so I'm going to see if this caller has a question for you. So we're going to...
Perfect.
Hello, you're on the line with Lauren and Travis.
Hello. Hello. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Lauren, I'm Mark DeVell. I'm your next guest or a guest. I don't know if I called the right number or not.
Oh, well, Mark, you're on next week. But it's lovely to have you on this week.
What's that?
I said it's lovely for you to call in. You're doing a little test run. We have you on the show next week.
I put it in the wrong part of my appointment book.
Oh, that's beautiful. But now I see now you know how to do it. It's beautiful. But you knew that. You were just testing me.
No, I wasn't.
No, you weren't.
It's just an honest mistake.
All right. Well, any questions for Travis Schmidt? Shall I have
you? It sounds like a great, great idea, quite honestly. I wasn't aware of it. And
Please come out and try it.
Yeah, I did read something in the newspaper about how certain municipalities want to ban, like, the taco thing or something like that. So I don't know.
Yeah,
if
you know, that is a challenge. You know, that's going to be a challenge that the whole food industry deals with. I mean, you know, you've obviously got a lot of discontent from the restaurant owners, and there's two sides to the coin, and obviously there's two sides to the story, and I think it's a changing landscape, and whenever the landscape changes, you're going to have different pushes from different directions, and I think hopefully we all come to a place that it works out for most people.
Well, I think it's about competition. People don't, they see that a lot of, you offer certain types of fare for a certain price point, and some of these restaurants might have a higher price point, and so you're stealing some of their customers, obviously, depending on where you go, and they just don't like that.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it is, you know, it's competition. It's really just, you know, it's kind of like changing the playing field. The playing field's changed a little bit.
But I think there's enough room for everybody. Not everybody wants to, you know, hang out on the street. So tell us, how do we find out at where you are in the world?
Basically, we got the best way to find us is on the internet, which is worldfare.com, and that's F-A-R-E, world, F-A-R-E.com. Or the easiest way to find out exactly what we're doing is Twitter, which is probably one of the biggest contributors for this business blowing up the way it has, because it all of a sudden it gave all these mobile vendors a space to actually tell people where they were.
Right. I recently, I guess maybe about 2 months ago, did the experience, the trucking lunch, and it was fascinating how all the trucks were in one location, and then you had a variety of foods from which to choose from. But the beauty of Bustrant is that you include a great view, like all what you wanted, a place to sit or stand and have your lunch and have a particular view, and I think that's too outstanding.
Yeah, and I think what's really important is the whole thing about dining is the experience. And, you know, a part of that experience is the food, but a part of that experience is where you're able to hang out, who you're able to hang out with, and the music that's playing, and just things that make it memorable. And I think that's what we're trying to create, is trying to create an experience that people can really have a good time.
Now, do you run 7 days a week, or what is your schedule exactly?
There's a little bit of feedback. Is another radio on, or do you know?
It is. It's probably Mark. Do you have any other questions?
No, I'm going to jump off, Lauren, come back.
Mark, thank you.
We'll come back next week. Don't forget.
Yeah, I won't.
Okay.
I'm going to put it in right now. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. That's Mark Gravel. He's a hypnotherapist, and he'll be on our show next week, so we look forward to that. So,
great.
Yeah, your schedule, Travis. I wanted to find out, is it...
So what we do is we post our weekly schedule on our website, probably on about Saturday or Sunday. But we're out and about at least 6 days a week. You know, we do lunch Monday through Friday, and then we do some evening dinner services. Like tonight, we're at Main Street, Santa Monica. We're at the Victorian. They've got a little event on, but it's open to the public. We park there. It's really just giving people in different neighborhoods a different option for dinner. And so we do a lot of, we do a lunch service, dinner service, and events. That's really what it is. And the schedule online gives you a look into the future, and then Twitter gives you a look into that day.
That's terrific. Now, you are very fortunate to have Andy Van Willigan as your executive chef. How did that come to be?
Well, yeah, I'm very fortunate. You know, the reality is, yes, you can have a cool vehicle, and the Bustrant is a phenomenal vehicle in terms of what it offers. But if you don't have good food, you've got nothing. And Andy is an absolute star in the kitchen. She worked for Michael Mina for 4 years and opened 10 of his restaurants, you know, in multiple concepts. So she really sharpened her knives at the best, as well as working for Gordon Ramsay on Hell's Kitchen. She was his sous chef for 2 seasons. So I ended up meeting Andy when she opened up Michael Mina's restaurant on Sunset Boulevard, 14. And I ended up selling them a lot of product for 14, and we became friends. She continued to work with the group. I did a bit more work with her. And then she really wanted to move back to Southern California. So, this opportunity, I started chatting to her about this because I respected her and I respected her her skills and talents, and you know, she came up with a lot of exciting ideas, and together we formulated the concept.
So the two of you have created this, your particular menu, or is it just Andy's creative genius?
Well, it's Andy's food. Bunny Chow is obviously a South African dish. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Bunny Chow.
No, I'm not. Tell us more about it.
So Bunny Chow, you know, the concept is World Fair, which is internationally inspired food, and we're just really trying to make the world smaller through food. Basically, you know, bringing different food to a different table. And but Bunny Chow is a South African dish which has been served in South Africa for years. And basically the street workers in South Africa used to go up to stores and get a loaf of bread hollowed out and either fill it with chicken curry or mutton. Or mutton curry, and they used to go into the fields, work, and then, you know, they would eat it at lunch break. And the storekeepers were called banyas. So it is a very, you know, it is a large Indian community in Durban, South Africa, and they shortened it to Bunny Chow, Banya Chow, and Chow is food. So we took the concept of Bunny Chow, which is the South African chicken curry, and we made these mini loaves into a street food size. It's kind of the size, I would hate to say the size of a slider, because a slider's got about 1.5 ounces of meat. We got about 4 ounces of meat. And then we just said, well, this is our delivery system, and we're going to put delicious ingredients in. So we do a Worcestershire braised short rib, a barbecue pork, a chicken curry, a Thai chicken curry, a vegetarian chili, and, you know, we've added different ones, a beef stroganoff, and we do specials. But it's really phenomenal ingredients that we put inside. The Worcestershire braised short rib, for example, takes 18 hours. The Worcestershire sauce is made from scratch, and it's covered with a horseradish creme fraiche. People love it.
I'm getting hungry. Can you pull the bus up here to the studio? I'm loving it.
I know. We really should have got you some food.
Well, you know, how to be comfortable in your own shoes does go on the road a bit, so to speak. So perhaps we can do that atop your bus one day. That would be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
So that's great, and I know I have your menu here. Your truffle mac and cheese happens to be my favorite, but you do a little spin on it. It's cheese balls, right?
Yeah, the truffle mac and cheese balls are phenomenal. They are people are really going crazy for it. They're really truffly. They've got truffle flakes. They've got a truffle cheese as well. So they're like a little fried mac and cheese ball. You get 3 per serving. That's a very, very popular dish on the bus. And then the desserts. The desserts are also amazing. But, yeah, the truffle is amazing.
And Andy does the desserts as well, or is there a dessert chef?
Well, we actually have Kim Seeley as a pastry chef that works with Andy on the dessert. She was a pastry chef at the Viceroy in Santa Monica. And she has put in front of me probably one of the best brownies I've ever had in my life. It's like eating chocolate. I keep telling her that it's like a molten lava cake, and she's like, it's not a molten cake, Travis. It's got flour. She shouts at me. But it is delicious.
Well, if you're a chocolate lover like I am, how could you pass up a brownie?
I know. We did a beer festival 2 weeks ago, the beer festival at Sony Studios, and there was a cherry beer, and we made a cherry chocolate lava cake with beer, and that was just unbelievable. She really is amazing. And we've got a red velvet, we do a red velvet cheesecake, which is kind of like a red velvet, but with cheesecake baked in the middle. So you get the red velvet, and you don't get the sweetness of that frosting, but you get the cheesecake. So that's also one of our signature desserts.
And obviously there are no calories in the desserts, because all women want to know that.
No, everything is fat-free, absolutely.
I love that. Now, you also mentioned the private events that you do. How many people can you feed, I don't want to say exactly at once, but over time, like say for a 2-hour period?
Oh, well, a 2-hour period, we could definitely feed 200 to 300 people. We've done a lunch service of 200 people. That was an hour and a half. So, you know, it obviously all depends on the menu. There's two sides to our menu. There's the street food menu, which is made at restaurant quality, which is basically our bunny chows, our truffle mac and cheese balls, our desserts, and our house-made drinks. That's everything's under $5. And then we have another menu, which is kind of called our chef blackboard. And our chef blackboard is restaurant-quality food at the, on the street. An example of something on that would be today we had the salmon salad. We've had the we have steak frites for $12. We have an 8-ounce Piedmont cheeseburger. So, you know, we've got two real menus, but the reason I bring that up is, you know, depending on the menu, a bunny chow menu, we could definitely do 250, 300 people. In terms of when we start to bring a burger and steaks on there, obviously there's a little bit more time in the prep, but, you know, it's all worth it, all worth waiting for.
So are both these menus available to people during the day for lunch?
Absolutely, yeah. The chef's blackboard is very popular. You know, we had an orzo salad on there today, and I saw a lot of people were buying the orzo salad. The salmon salad was also great. So, so it was really good in terms of it just gives people for the people who really enjoy World Fair and enjoy coming back week after week. It also gives you something new every week to look for.
I guess that was going to be my next question. How often do you change your menu?
Well, the base menu is the base menu, and it's important to have that for the people who just love that food. But in terms of the chef's blackboard, we've been rotating dishes on that every week. There's been new dishes. Every week there's new house-made drinks. There's new sides. I know that Chef Annie was saying to me today that she wants to put a new vegetarian bunny chow on. She wants to mix it up from the chili. So, I mean, she's always creating in the kitchen, and that's really what she does best.
Now, since, you know, you are from South Africa and now living in the United States, any thoughts about bringing World Fair to Johannesburg?
It's actually, I'd love to have this concept on the streets of South Africa. Right now, our focus, obviously, is having as many in the streets of America as possible. We bought our second bus, which we're really excited about. And if you saw our original bus had a collage of pictures in the shape of a continent, and all those pictures are friends, family, people having fun, food. So the next collage, which I'm really excited about, is we're going to have a collage of people who are friends of the fair, so to speak. And anyone who's friends of the World Fair and, you know, uploads it to the Facebook fan page, we're going to start to take pictures from the Facebook fan page and literally have people on the bus who've been to the bus.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful idea.
You know, it's great. You walk up to the bus, you find yourself in the picture. It's just a lot of fun. And what's important about the skin of the bus is a huge canvas. So it creates, you know, when you're far away from the bus, you see it as the continent of the world. But when you ride up close to the bus, you've got a level of detail that you can actually look at. And you can actually, while you're waiting for your food, you start to look at the skin, see people you know, you see... My one friend, funny enough, was a paparazzi for a while, and so we've got a couple of famous people on there. So even if you don't know anyone, all of a sudden you start seeing famous people, and it's like, oh, wow.
That's a wonderful form of advertising. So I was going to ask you, and I think you've already answered my question about where you see World Fair in 5 years. And with the purchase of your...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I see it in a lot of different avenues. You know, it's a bus run, but I think that the food is really being well received. I mean, every day at the bus we get people saying, where can we eat this when the bus isn't around? So, I mean, hopefully we can get ourselves, you know, down the road into some brick and mortars in certain cities and, you know, and just really keep serving quality food to people at a very good price.
I think that's what's important. People still want to have that same experience but not pay sometimes outrageous prices for food, and what seems to be popular now are small plates. So it sounds to me like your bunny chows are more of a small plate item that people can have maybe a sample or two. And
right. Well, we've also got the sampler on the menu. All our bunny chows are served obviously in like a bread bowl, so to speak. But the chef was smart, and you know we realized being in LA, she actually created some of the bunny chows in the yellow bell pepper, which is very mild. So, and then, which then goes to our sampler, which is a bell pepper cut into quarters, which has the meat, about an ounce and a half of meat piled on it. So you can actually sample all four bunny chows in a bunny chow sampler as well.
Well, I think you would be great at a place like the Hollywood Bowl in the summer?
You know, I wish we could get down there. That's you know, the challenge in our industry and where we are is we're breaking new ground in terms of what's happening. You know, we're doing street business, but there is a large demand for us for us to be at places like the Hollywood Bowl. But the Hollywood Bowl obviously only allows certain vendors in that got contracts. So I think it's going to take a while, and it's going to take a while for the public to start demanding various options. You know, we're very excited about, you know, hopefully we can do something like Cinespear, which is that, movies on Saturday night at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. You know, that's something that we'd love to be a part of. So there's a lot of things, and I think there's a lot of breadth for where we can go, and it's just a matter of finding those right events and adding to the event. I think we can bring a lot to the table.
I think it would be perfect in Hollywood per se, with the resurgence of Hollywood. And a few months ago, I had the founder of the Hollywood Fringe Festival as a guest, and that's coming in June, and that's going to be a fabulous experience, not only for the arts, but for Hollywood itself, because Hollywood is...
Wow, I haven't heard of that. What is that?
It's a Fringe Festival. It's a theatrical festival. Ben Hill is the executive director of the Fringe Festival, and there are certain... And it's a certain parameter of Hollywood. You'd have to go on to their website, which I believe is hollywoodfringefestival.org, and you could find out more information about them. They're coming to June, I think... to Hollywood in June. I think it's either 10 days or a two-week period, and there's a selected venues, theaters, that people who have a theatrical piece can submit their piece to a particular venue of their choice and perform their piece during this time frame. And so the city is going to be hot with young people and people of all ages, but I think sometimes more of the young people or more apt to trying new and different ideas. You know, you have a certain crowd, but it would be the perfect place for you.
Right. It sounds amazing. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I think that these type of things are starting to emerge more and more in LA. And I don't know if it's just that I'm in this business now, so I'm exposed to them more. But I'm, you know, we have a, you know, Silver Lake's doing a festival that's going to be fantastic, that's coming up. We had the Grilled Cheese Invitational that we were a part of. And all these things are really, really fun events in Los Angeles that I wasn't even aware of.
But it's very interesting, and I always liken what people do, especially now during these times, is to kind of, and I don't want to use think out of the box, but how to think more creatively, that because of these economic times, you're not going to just close your business. You know, you've got to find
a way to
be in business, so you say to yourself, okay, so these are my parameters. How can I do what I want to do? So you think a little differently. Your concept is a little more unique. You have people come to you, or you go to them, and you provide certain things. Your price point is a little lower. You try to find a way to cut your costs. So times like this, I think these are perfect times to start something new. There's a lot of opportunity.
Well, these are great times for innovation as well, you know, and I think that's what we've seen. We've seen a resurgence and some innovation in the space, and I think that's really exciting.
That is, and there's I'm sure there's a huge South African contingency in Los Angeles, so you can always call on your people to help you.
Well, the funny thing, and I'm a little embarrassed to say, but our chicken curry is not very, very honest to the South African chicken curry. It's more of a Thai chicken curry, whereas the South African curry is a very, very spicy curry. But I think the South Africans that we have had down at the bus have been very, very happy with the food that they got. So it's okay. But I know from a South African standpoint that the curry is not a traditional Indian curry.
Well, you know, that's the problem when you go out to eat sometimes. If you've been to a foreign country, let's say if you've been to Italy or France or anywhere in Europe and you want to have something similar back home, it never is the same because the experience is different, the ingredients are different, but it's kind of always nice to have that, a remembrance and or a concept of a dish or of a memory, and that's what's great. It's also it's so exciting. And how many people are in your crew? How many people does it take to run Bustrant?
Well, there's obviously my partner Jason Freeman and I, and the chef Andy, who's a partner. And then we have probably three people in our kitchen making sure that the food is at the quality that we need. And then we're guarding the bus. There's 3 to 4 people on the bus, including the driver.
So it's
quite
village.
A big operation.
Yeah, it takes a small village to kind of do that. So where do you think your next bus will be? What territory?
I think, you know, to be honest with you, LA is large enough that it can definitely support 2 to 3 buses. So I think initially Los Angeles will be where bus 2 will spend a lot of its time. I think the natural flow is down to Orange County. The whole of Southern California is just perfect for this, in terms of our climate and the fact that the rooftop on the bus is open. You know, the weather we've been having lately has been a little weird, but, hopefully when we get into the full swing of summer, it's just going to be magic.
I think that's the magical part, because you can maybe park your bus down by the beach somewhere and people can have an ocean view and some great food.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think when we start to really do that food on the beach and, you know, just create that view and create that environment and use what LA has, which is, you know, it's truly probably one of the most special cities in the world in terms of what it offers.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why people flock to Los Angeles, because there's so much opportunity here. And
it really does bring a lot to the table. It does offer a lot.
That's what we're all about. That's what we're all about. Now, are there any plans to open for dinner?
Oh, absolutely. We're doing tonight. We're doing dinner on Main Street at the Victorian. But dinner is an interesting business. People are going places for dinner. So, you know, when we start to get the following on Twitter, because a lot of this business is about building the community, the community understanding where you're going and looking for you. You know, we've been on the road for 5 weeks, so we're just starting to get those people who are really looking out for us and saying we want to go back, you know, and we're getting those repeat customers. But, definitely. We're Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, it's very important to be out for dinner. Tomorrow night we've got a great event at the Bergamon Station it's a focus on AIDS event, and we're really excited about doing. There's going to be 500 people with a preview on all the photography that they're going to be auctioning off on Sunday. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things that where dinner comes in, and, you know, we want to be serving people. Initially when I launched, well, not necessarily when I launched, but when I thought we were launching the bus, I thought that dinners and the late night crowd would be the big crowd. It's what's been most interesting for me is the lunch and people who need, the people who've been working in an office for 5 years and who always have the same food options. This is something different for them, and this is what's so appealing about this mobile model.
Well, I have
we bring options to people.
Yeah, I have a little heads up for you on that same subject. I was at the Wilshire Theater on Wilshire and La Cienega, which is now the Saban Theater, and I happened to be talking to a woman in line whose office was moving right to a building right across from the theater, and her complaint was that there was no place to go for lunch, no place to walk. And I said to her, well, you have La Cienega Restaurant Row right up the street. She says, well, that's too expensive. So,
right.
So this is where you come in, because people – I think that is the downside. People work in an area where they don't have a lot of time for lunch, and maybe they don't always want to bring their lunch, and so they want a little variety. And so you're perfect, because you're right there, and the food is fabulous, and it's an interesting experience.
No, and that is exactly it. It's just giving people that option that they can really just have another alternative and just not have to, you know, and it's also quick. It's quick. I mean, it's not fast food, but it's quick.
Quick is good. So I wanted to share some contact information with our listeners as where people can follow you. Once again, you said you have Twitter. That's Twitter at World Fare, F-A-R-E. And then people can follow you on Facebook.com/World Fare.
And yes, yes.
Website at worldfair.com and Flickr, FLICKR.com/worldfair. Travis, you are everywhere. You are everywhere.
No, we. You know what? It's a lot of this. A lot of what the bus is about people being able to experience the bus without having been at the bus. And I think the internet and what's happening online and through the social media and the social networks is enabling that. And that's what's very exciting about everything we're doing. You're seeing, you know, when you send out a lunch special and, you know, you've got your followers and 150 people look at that picture and then people come down to the bus and try that food. It's just very special to see such a dynamic model and how things have changed in terms of communicating with the people who are interested in what you're doing.
But it's grassroots what you're doing, because you're going into various neighborhoods and engaging with the people. And that's
right, it's
that's
very
really
grassroots.
What it's all about, because it's the engaging of the people and creating a certain experience for them. And in turn, they will spread the word and do your advertising for you.
Yeah, and well, it's been. I think what's so exciting is, you know, the way phones are going and the way photography is going. You know, people can create content that's amazing, and you know, people who are engaged in something that you're doing can create amazing content for you and with you. So, you know, when someone goes out to the bus and they take photos and they send it out on Twitter, you know, it's great, because all of a sudden they've just, you know, your presence and what you're doing has been special to them, but in so doing they've shared it with people.
That's true. Now, would you also do a private event at someone's home? Can you pull up the bus in?
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of a private event, we are, you know, what's very exciting about us in terms of catering is we bring a fully functional kitchen to someone's house. So we don't have to mess around. We don't have hot boxes. The food comes out fresh. So, you know, I think having us for a 21st birthday party, a 16th or a 40th or something like that can be really amazing. You know, we can do a bar on top, a DJ on top, a band on top. And that's the thing. It's the World Fair stage, and having that stage is just unbelievable. Having that whole event space.
That's right. Your movable theater, food. You've got the whole thing. Well, it just sounds like a wonderful experience. And my mouth is already watering for the short.
Well, we got to get you down there. We got to get you down there to try
the
food.
I got to get on the bus. I got to get on the bus and have a view and. Get my experience in, and it's just been such a pleasure chatting with you and learning more about World Fair and your concept and your ideas. I think it's new and exciting. It's going to make the taco trucks run for their money a little bit. So.
No, well, it's an interesting community, because we're not really competing against each other. We've all got totally different food types, and it's kind of a community out there. It's a great space to be.
It is. It really is. And I wish you all the best with your business and bus number two, and look forward to imbibing with you. But again, let me just throw out the contact information at Twitter at World Fair, and I'm just going to direct people to your website at WorldFair, F-A-R-E, .com, and they can just follow you from there. And just sounds
great.
Wonderful. So, Travis, thank you so much for taking the time to come on How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. And it's been...
Thank you so much, Lauren, and thank you for putting on the show. It's great.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one. Cheers.
Bye. Well, that was just a lovely, lovely gustatory journey with Travis Schmidt and World Fair and Busterant. So I hope everyone will check out their website at worldfair, FARE.com. And you can also follow them at Twitter at World Fair to find out where they'll be and taste some South African-esque Bunny Chow. They sound so fabulous. Please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes when my guest will be hypnotherapist Mark Gravel. He was so excited about being on my show that he happened to call a week ahead. Isn't that fabulous? You gotta love it. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you, everyone, for listening and joining me today. So I'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. Shoes. We've been getting down with Secondhand Jive by Billy Grant. We'll see you next time.